Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Our text for meditation this morning comes from the Gospel according to St. Luke, the 20th chapter, where Jesus says, "The stone that the builders rejected has become the cornerstone." The context for today's Gospel lesson can be a little bit confusing, since for the past several weeks we've been bouncing around through St. Luke's Gospel. Now, next Sunday is Palm Sunday, but today's text takes place on the Tuesday following Palm Sunday, a mere 3 days before Jesus' crucifixion and death. He's already made his triumphant entry into Jerusalem. He's wept over the city. He's prophesied Jerusalem's destruction, and he's cleansed the temple. And from the temple, he's teaching his people. And among those gathered are Israel's religious leaders. So Jesus tells them a parable that describes the history of Israel. And it brings to mind the way the prophet Isaiah described Israel in his Song of the Vineyard. Isaiah described a vineyard that failed to produce good fruit. But in Jesus' parable, however, the problem isn't with the vineyard, but the problem is with the tenants whom the owner had rented the property. In the parable, God is the owner of the vineyard, and he's leased it out to tenant farmers who represent the Jewish leaders of all time. Throughout their history, God's people and their leaders have been consistently unfaithful and disobedient. But even so, in God's rich mercy and grace, he's patient with his chosen ones. Jesus describes three different instances where the owner of the vineyard sends a servant, the servant representing God's prophets of old. He sends a servant to speak in the stead and by the command of the Lord, calling the people to repentance and to show fruits of repentance and faith. But Israel's leaders had God's prophets beaten and sent away. They treated them shamefully and wounded them, and some of them were even killed. God's people rejected the Lord's gracious love, thinking that all of their belongings and their blessings belonged to them alone. All their stuff was theirs, and they got it by their own power. In an ultimate act of love, the owner of the vineyard sends last one servant. He sends his son. But the tenants saw that as their big opportunity, that they could claim the inheritance as their own. So they threw the son out of the vineyard and killed him. This servant, as you know, is Jesus. Jesus, who would be put to death just a few days later on Calvary's cross. And the meaning of the parable is immediately clear to the religious leaders. They had been seeking to destroy Jesus, but they couldn't because the people had been hanging on his every word as he taught. They'd have to plot to find a different way to have him put to death. But Jesus has called them out. He has exposed their intentions, and in closing the parable, Jesus doesn't dwell on history past, but rather he tells them the significance of his own death for the salvation of the world. And he poses a question to them and then answers. Jesus says, "What then will the owner of the vineyard do to them? Well, he will come and destroy those tenants and give the vineyard to others." Jesus is telling the leaders that their whole religious establishment would come to an end. The vineyard would no longer be leased to new tenant farmers from among the people of Israel, but the vineyard is going to be given to others outside of the Jewish faith, given to the Gentiles. The people were incredulous, but Jesus looked at them directly, and he quotes Psalm 118, saying, "What then is this that is written? The stone that the builders has rejected has become the cornerstone." Since you and I live after Jesus' crucifixion and resurrection from the grave, we're not the main characters in the parable. But you and all believers in Christ are included in these others who the vineyard has been given to. The owner has given his vineyard to these others. By virtue of your baptism, you have been grafted into God's vineyard. For the sake of Jesus' suffering, death, and resurrection, God has given you his son's inheritance. Jesus is the vine, you are the branches. Whoever abides in him and he in them, he it is that bears much fruit, for apart from Jesus, you can do nothing. The parable is a reminder to you and me that God is the owner of everything. He owns not just the vineyard, but he's the owner of the whole world and everything in it, including you in body, mind, and soul. But how often do we respond to God's gracious love and his forgiveness in the same manner as the wicked tenants and reject our Lord's ownership? God the Father has entrusted to you your time, your talents, your treasures, and everything else that you have. But like the tenants, you have a tendency to believe that all of your stuff, all of your earthly blessings are yours alone to do with as you please. You often do so with no regard to God or any regard to his good and perfect will for your lives. There are times when you reject God's precious gifts he gives in word and sacrament. You ignore the covenant that he made with you in baptism, using other activities as an excuse to be absent from worship and Bible study and the Lord's Supper, rather than using these precious means of grace as an excuse to miss those other worldly opportunities. The owner of the vineyard is calling you to return to him a portion of the first fruits of the vineyard, the fruits of repentance and the fruits of faith. Again, since you and I are living after Jesus' crucifixion and resurrection, we do have a different perspective of the parable than those who first heard it. Looking through the lens of the cross of Jesus, you and I can see what these unbelieving tenant owners or tenants, farmers, intended as evil. What the tenants intended as evil, our Heavenly Father uses for grace and salvation. The stone that has been rejected has become the cornerstone on which the Christian church has been built. In Jesus' death, God poured out his wrath against all sin, destroying the old vineyard. For the death Jesus died, he died to sin once for all. But the life he lives to God. And we know that Christ, being raised from the dead, will never die again. Death no longer has dominion over him. As we discussed earlier downstairs, Christ has won victory over sin, death, and the grave so that he might give the vineyard to others, to his new chosen people, giving it to you and me and to all who believe in him. He is the cornerstone of your faith, and he gives you new life and fruitful labor in his vineyard as his stewards. In our epistle lesson, St. Paul describes what life in the vineyard looks like for the Christian. Before Paul's call to faith and his conversion, he was one of those Jewish leaders. He was a Pharisee. Paul says himself that he was blameless under the law as he persecuted the Christian church. As a Pharisee, Paul thought he had every reason to believe that he was saved by his works and adherence to the law. But as we heard earlier in our text, whatever he had prior to faith in Jesus, Paul now counts as loss, all for the sake of Christ. For the sake of Jesus, Paul gave it all up and counted it as rubbish, literally meaning human excrement. All of your works righteousness are a waste and rubbish. As a baptized believer in Jesus, your righteousness comes through Christ alone as a gift to be received by faith alone. And his resurrection makes it possible for your faith and your future resurrection. And the greatest honor for the Christian living in this broken and sinful world is to follow the pattern of Jesus, who came to seek and save the lost and to give his life as a ransom. You have the honor of being faithful stewards of all of God's gifts that he has blessed you with, using them to God's glory, suffering all, even unto death. Like Paul, by the power of the Holy Spirit, you can press on to obtain faith in Christ, that is, strengthening your God-given faith that you received in baptism and strengthening it in word and sacrament by studying God's word, reading, marking, learning, and taking his word to heart, so that by the patience and comfort of God's holy word, you may embrace and hold ever fast the blessed hope of everlasting life. Not because doing all these things earn you his righteousness. No, you are righteous for Christ's sake. But you press on to obtain Christ because Christ pressed on for you, suffering and dying on the cross in your stead, so that he could obtain you and make you his own. Christ is your cornerstone. He's the cornerstone that the Christian church is built on. And by the grace of God, God, the owner of the vineyard of the Christian church, enables and empowers all who believe in Jesus to be good tenants of his vineyard. The Holy Spirit, who called you to faith, working through word and sacrament, equips you for productive work in the vineyard so that you bear fruits of repentance and fruits of faith and perform acts of virtue and good works toward your neighbor. The parable of the wicked tenants is a severe pronouncement of judgment upon those who reject God's grace. However, as baptized believers in Christ Jesus, we look through the lens of the cross. You see how Jesus bore God's entire wrath, his entire judgment on your behalf. The love your Savior has for you is unknown. Dying for the loveless and the undeserving, so that you would receive his rich inheritance of forgiveness of sins and everlasting life. Amen. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.